Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 7th day of June, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the ADA, which is Americans with Disabilities Act, and HIPAA, which, by the way, in my notice I had the wrong abbreviation. It's HIPAA, which is your hospitalization insurance or health insurance protection and accountability act, and the coup that is currently going on in this country. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Borada. Also, Cymru Ambith, Wales forever. We will take callers later on in the program. Thank you, Angel. And we do ask that you maintain decorum and proper language. Also, if there's more than two of us on the call, please use radio communications etiquette, which means when you're finished saying what you have to say, tell the rest of us over, which will signify that you're done talking. This helps us to keep it easier on the listeners, and also so we don't walk on top of each other. That's old CB radio talk. That we don't walk on each other and make it very difficult to understand what's going on. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's muted until such time as I unmute you. If you have a question and you're on a phone, it's star 6. If you're on a computer, it's click on the ask question button, and that will flag me that you're wanting to participate. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's all together with no spaces, pastordan.net. We do want to remind you that because of the problems we're having with email and censorship and different things like that, please go to the Daily Mail page on our website, PastorDan.net, as often as you think of it, because that's where I log what I think, anyway, is the news that I'm coming across that you might be interested in. And it might be any kind of news, not just with the political happenings, but if it's a health-related issue, a housing issue, travel issue, whatever. So check it out from time to time. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, again, he told us, "Have not I commanded you?" Again, this is Yahweh speaking. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go." So what do we take from that? Well, first of all, we're commanded to be strong and courageous. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. A sign of fear, which I'm going to tell you about here in a minute, because I just came back from going to the local Super Walmart. The sign of fear is all around us, and it's called people wearing masks. Because why? Because they're told to. Or they assume that they have to. Do they really have to? No, they don't. But they assume that they have to. Why? Because of fear and lack of knowledge. So our Heavenly Father tells us over and over and over and over that you're to trust Him and not your own understanding. Lean not unto your own understanding, but trust the Father in all things. Are we doing that? Again, what did he say when he walked this earth 2,000 years ago? When I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find faith on the earth? I think it's pretty evident. Not much. And not only is there not much faith, there's not much common sense. There's not much IQ intellect. There's not much fellowship. There's not much trust. There's not much of a yearning for truth at all costs. None of those things. We don't even have natural affection anymore. Fathers, mothers don't even have natural affection for their children. They let them date gorillas and monkeys, animals, rocks, you name it, other same sex. It doesn't matter. They have more concern for their pets than they do their own children. Talk about upside down. And trust me, I've seen this up close and personal within my own family. Have more concern over animals than they do people. Let that sink in. You want to talk about a dystopia, a world that is completely and utter chaos. That's us, folks. That's us. Unbelievable chaos. So today, again, I entitled it ADA and HIPAA. Why is that? Because I'm going to tell you what happened on my trip to the Walmart store. Ralph, okay, definition of insanity. Yeah, doing the same thing over and over, but expecting a different result. Over and over, going to these clowns we call government and think that these clowns are going to solve our problems. Well, I got news for you. They created the problems. You think they're going to fix the problems? So anyway, I live in a completely minority-run area of the United States of America. It's called South Florida. It's a very southern part of Florida. It's 100% alien-run, okay? There's still a few of us whites here, but for the most part, it's a third-world Latino area. There's blacks here, of course, but the people that run the show, like out of Miami and all, Latinos, you'll see a smattering of blacks because of Obama and his years and putting pressure on companies and whatnot. So this is a completely minority-run area. And, of course, when I go to Walmart, so for today, for the first time, I was challenged for not wearing a mask. And it was interesting. It was interesting. I walked past a great big overweight black woman, tried to tell me to put something on. I just kept walking. And sure enough, soon, the assistant manager, two other employees, could have been three, came up to me and said, you know, sir, you have to wear a mask. And I said, well, actually, I don't. And I showed him the ADA paperwork that I carry in my pocket. And I said, take a look at this. This will tell you about the Americans with Disabilities Act and the HIPAA laws, which are federal, which means they apply all over the country. I said, these tell you that, A, I have a health issue that says that I should not be told to wear a mask, and two, you don't have any right to inquire, because one of the black women tried to say, well, what's your problem? I said, you don't even have a right to ask me that, lady. I said, all you need to know is I don't have to wear a mask. It is detrimental to my health. Just because, and I didn't say this, but just because your people are too ignorant to know the truth doesn't mean I have to harm myself. And that's a fact. Now, we should know these things even without the ADA and HIPAA regulations. We're God's creatures upon this earth. We are the manifestation of his sons. We should know that. We should stand our ground. But I felt like I was going to go ahead and just throw their own garbage legislation at them today and see what happened. And it was actually quite interesting. It reminded me of when I was in the courthouses 25 years ago, and I had to educate the prosecutor, the assistant prosecutor, and the cops at the courthouse. They were completely ignorant of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, state law. They were ignorant of it all. So I felt like I'd gone back in time a little bit, but here I had this little band. By now I've got like three or four women and three or four guys, including the assistant manager and the manager. Again, all of them are black or Latino. So the manager, a black guy, he's sitting there and he's talking through his mask. And I told most of them, I said, I can't understand a damn thing you're saying. You got a mask over your face. It's ridiculous. Why don't you pull it down so I can understand you? And so the manager is on the phone, talking through his mask on this phone to somebody. I guess he's trying to fill him in about this belligerent white guy that won't put a mask on. And I said, make sure you tell the manager I've just showed you the piece of paper that says I can sue you for $75,000. First time. Second time, I can sue you for $150,000. I said, personally, I could use $75,000, so please continue. So he's talking to somebody on the phone. I said, remind your manager that your own website, and so does the website of virtually all of these major stores, has their policy, and it says that it is a recommendation. Now, for the simple-minded and the public school-educated people out there, recommendations are not law. They're just that. They're a recommendation. Okay? It's the difference between should and shall. Subtle difference, but it makes all the difference in the world as to how we operate in this world that we live in, especially today with all the legalism, because we've been Judaized by the interlopers, the communists, and that's why they infiltrate the law. Because they know simple-minded people aren't ever going to go look into the details of things. So they coach their communist ideology with smooth-sounding words that sound legitimate, but when you tear it down, and praise Yahweh, I give him the credit for this. I was trained as a technical writer for many years, and I'm not completely stupid. So I'm able to see through their jargon and their lies and deceptions. So I told the manager in something he would understand, I said, your bosses, whoever the hell you're talking to, needs to call your legal department, and you need to tell them that I am under the ADA and HIPAA laws. You don't have a right to know anything about my health. All you need to know is I don't have to wear a mask. That's all you have to know. Or I can sue you. So he gets on the phone, next thing he gets off the phone, and he says something to this Latino guy. The Latino guy looks at me, he says, "So you have a condition, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, that's right. Wearing a mask is harmful to my health." I didn't tell him, but I was getting ready to say, "I have medical professionals, both natural and MD, that have determined that wearing of a mask is detrimental to my health. That's all you need to know. You have no right to know anything more than that." So he looks at me and he goes, "Okay." That was it. Walked around. I got stopped a couple more times by obvious employees who thought they were doing a service. And I simply said, "Look, go call your manager. I've already talked to him. I don't need a mask. So leave me alone." And they left me alone. And all of the people that were shopping, not one of them said anything to me or even gave me a look. Everybody was doing their shopping. Quite a few folks had it pulled down around their chins. And at times, some of the employees even do it because obviously wearing a mask is detrimental to your health. You can't breathe. I've got friends of mine who've had family members pass out, either in cars or on the job, because they're being required to wear these damn masks. So it's detrimental to everybody's health. And I reminded the manager, I said, "By the way, you need to tell your bosses that the World Health Organization itself has recently reversed its stand on the wearing of these dumbass masks. They don't do a damn thing for you, folks. Wearing a mask to stop the virus, even though the virus is actually not what's causing a problem, viruses are a natural occurrence. But even if the virus was the culprit, trying to stop a virus with the things that people are putting over their faces is like trying to stop mosquitoes with a chain link fence." Now, I hope everybody listening knows what the hell a chain link fence is. Okay? It's the same kind of fences that used to go around the schoolyard when you were in grade school and high school. Chain link fence, meaning the wired fence that you can see through because it's got gaping holes in it. So you're going to put up a chain link fence and try to stop mosquitoes. The analogy is perfect. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. But because we're dealing with things that are unseen to the naked eye, these people don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. So it turned out to be quite an adventure. I was able to shop peacefully, and nobody bothered me from that point, and got what I wanted, got the hell out of there, because I hate to be around those people anyway. It's not fun. Most of them are ignorant. Most of them won't help you. The people are just dumber than rocks. It's a typical Walmart. You'll see all kinds of stupidity in there. So, again, I don't care social distancing. I don't give a crap about it. I also don't pay any attention to the arrows on the floor, and I'm not going to. And thank God, Yahweh above, that I don't need much at stores. I go to stores very little. Why? Because I don't like them. And I've been doing that long before this plandemic came along. So, but anyway, that was my experience. There's a good YouTube channel by a lady called Peggy Hall. And, of course, Lorraine Day and Dr. Pet Tenpenny and many others have tremendously, Pamela Popper. They all have excellent information from a natural and a medical background to tell you that the mask is doing much more harm than any good. It's not doing a damn thing except identifying the weak-willed, ignorant sheep amongst our people and amongst the interlopers that are here, the invaders. I like to make the analogy that we are in the end days, the end of the age, and I often wondered, how is our Father going to show us who the Antichrists are? How is our Father going to identify the wheat and the tares? Because Father did say he was going to do that, didn't he? He said, don't you uproot the tares, the darnel plant, the tares. Don't you try to uproot them, because you might accidentally uproot wheat, because the wheat and the darnel plant look almost identical while they're growing. But at the time of the harvest, the darnel plant sticks straight up with big, black, ugly seeds. In fact, those seeds are toxic. If you were to eat them, you would get sick. Whereas the wheat, that's us, we're bowed over, heavy with good fruit, golden grains of wheat, bent over in submission to our Heavenly Father in humility. Remember that word, humility. Most of our people don't know what humility is anymore. So that's the difference. So I'm looking at the world today and I'm going, my gosh, he's actually made it quite easy for us. You can identify the darnels, the tares, just go outside and look. They're identifying themselves for you. It's amazing. And when the Father said, my flock, those who listen to my voice, those who have faith, those who walk according to my laws and the truth, are a tiny flock. Hallelujah, we're living to see those days. You, ladies and gentlemen, are living at the end of the age. You have, as my Tennessee buddy tells me all the time, you have a front row seat to witness the end of the age. You're here. It's here, right in front of your face. The Antichrist and the United Nations and these world organizations, the World Council of Churches, all of these giant conglomerations form the beast. It's the world government system. And we got to remember, the word government comes from two Latin words that mean to control the mind. So they're controlling your mind not only with a, quote, government system, but by organized religion. That's another mechanism for control. Organized religion. Okay? Organized what else? Well, organized government itself, organized religion, mainstream media, which is all owned by what? Large conglomerates, corporations. Okay? It's all right in front of you. Who can deny the prophets at this time? Who can do that? Who can deny the existence of a creator with the knowledge that we have now? The fact that these government agencies such as NASA are liars. The CDC is a private organization, much like the Federal Reserve. Private, not government, private. They own patents on vaccines. They're making money on the very things they're promoting. And people think the CDC, the Center for Disease Creation, is it an organization for your benefit? Oh my God, it's amazing that the Federal Reserve and these international Jewish bankers are doing things for the benefit of we the people. The insanity just never ends. I'm telling you, it's amazing. So anyway, that was my experience. It was beautiful to see it work in action exactly the way, again, Yahweh tells us what? Knowledge is power. Truth shall set you free. So amongst that throng of aliens, all of them with an IQ average somewhere around 65, walking around the store with these idiotic things over their face. And here is one of Yahweh's children walking amongst them. And he's the only one with enough common sense to know putting a mask on your face is not only ineffective, it's ridiculous. That's why the powers that should not be love making you do that, because it shows obedience to the world. It shows obedience to the Antichrist. And I'm sorry, folks, but it does. Colonel Potter and other people that I listen to, and Ralph says NASA, the National Association of Space Actors. Yeah, they're all actors. All of this stuff is staged. Do not put your trust in man and the things of man, ever, ever, ever. So we're seeing this revelation play out, the book of Revelation, the end time scenario is playing out right in front of us. And it is just amazing, amazing to see. But again, Peggy Hall, the other channel that you should take a look at his latest video is my friend that was on the program here a couple times, John Mark. He's got an excellent video up that he just put because, according to him and the Propertarians, we could have great victories at taking control away from the Antichrists with this rioting and the fact that the plandemic false flag is falling apart so fast. That's why they had to go to the racial thing. Something else to keep you afraid, keep you in your house, keep you from gathering in large numbers, and all the things the same way that the fake virus pandemic was doing, only people were waking up to that, so they had to shift gears. Okay, we got, looks like we got Phil. As soon as my damn software updates here, Phil, get out of my way. Gee, many Christmas. Sometimes these computers drive me crazy. Okay, Phil, can you hear me?
I certainly can. Can you hear me?
Yep, you're coming in loud and clear. Five by five, as they say.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, that's a great point about the masks, and I find it, you know, really interesting that the you'll see these rioters running into the stores and grabbing things, and they're wearing their mask. if you think this is crazy, it was crazy. But the Jews, of course, infiltrated our children's literature, and when you look at superheroes, for instance, it used to be that the criminal would wear the mask, but with superheroes, it's the hero that wears the mask, and the criminal runs around with no mask at all, and so now you're having to wear the mask to basically say that you may suspect you have something or you're concerned about that you're not a decent person. Plus, it makes you collective. It makes you it doesn't it removes your race. You know, it's a, you're just looking at the mask. You know, you can't look at the person's face. You can't look at their their emotions or their feelings or anything. It's just that. You know, and you can put whatever kind of statement you want on there. I've worked in insurance. I've had to deal with HIPAA and everything all the time, and last week we got a letter from in our email telling us that they have psychologists on staff as part of our benefit if we are being overly traumatized by Mr. George's death, and we can talk about it and to see if we have to see what we can do to make sure that a black man never dies again, basically, you know. Mm-hmm. So, oh yeah, it's ridiculous. This thing is very, very planned and everything, and Antifa was in Germany between 1919 and 1932, and they killed 200 police officers and about 230 National Socialists, and they wounded over 20,000 of them in bombings and other things. And it was the National Socialists that had to form the SA or the Brown Shirts in order so that the people could peacefully assemble and they could defend themselves, because they would infiltrate any kind of nationalist meeting. And they had to be able to defend themselves. Otherwise, these overly emotional Marxists would go irate. And I found it rather interesting that yesterday, of course, the anniversary of D-Day, the Marxist, the communist Democratic candidate, Mr. Bernie Sanders, the Jew, said something truthful, which is kind of shocking from a Jew. He said, D-Day was the largest Antifa operation in world history, and he's absolutely correct. And yeah. So, if you look at the flag, if you look at the fist, I sent you an email with those images, and it's the exact same logo that they had in Germany, and so, you know, and some other things you might find interesting. The National Socialists were considered pagans. Well, if you understand the word pagan, pagan comes from the Latin pagani, okay? And that's a word that essentially means like from the countryside, out within nature, and okay. And you know, it's kind of like the Jewish use of the word Nazi, which is a German word which means you know, basically the same thing, country bumpkin. So, okay, and the reason why they do this is because the churches are always centered around the town. You know, the church is in the center of town, you know, and it doesn't matter which church it is, whether it's Protestant and Catholic, it doesn't matter. You know, the church is always there in town. So if you need to find God, you got to go to the city. You can't go out into a sacred grove. Oh, if you're going out into the countryside into a sacred grove, you must be performing orgies of some sort. You cannot possibly be being alone in nature among the way the world was, away from other people, and praying to your deity. You must be doing something nasty. So that's where we're at right now. So it's getting very, very it's coming to the forefront. It really is. So.
Amen. Hey, Ralph from Canada wants to know, who did you say said that about D-Day again? Made that analogy about D-Day that was
Bernie Sanders.
Oh, Bernie Sanders. That's right. You said Bernie Sanders, right?
Bernie Sanders. Yeah.
Well, if you think about it, D-Day was also the invasion by the Allies, who were actually communist-controlled. The actual soldiers weren't, but the upper echelon military and government was communist-controlled. And they went in to destroy the Germans, who were the only anti-communists on the battlefield. So these riots are, you know, doing the exact same thing. It's a communist invasion of a Christian land of people who resist communism. So it is D-Day all over again. Only now, instead of, you know, Americans and Canadians and British attacking poor Germany with its Italian ally, instead it's they've got all of the non-whites worked up into a lather to attack the few remaining white people that have any balls left in them and any brains left in them, okay? So very few white people, especially the men, have the combination of brains and balls. Very few. And so now what the enemy is hoping is that these non-whites will rise up and look at us as their enemy, and that will take care of their problem, because they don't have the resources to take us down. The armed white men are the largest army on earth. White men with guns is the largest army on earth. They don't, they can't take it down. So they have to create an army of sycophants, which is the minorities, to do it for them. Does that make sense?
Oh, it, it most certainly does. And, they, you know, they have everything from, you know, the sodomites to the radical feminists to the black, you know, they, and they love the love the blacks, you know, and because the blacks are all, because the blacks know they can't stand up to the whites, and so they need to have the state to equalize that. You know, D-Day was done on at the sixth hour on the sixth day of the sixth month, 666, in 1944. 1 + 9 + 4 + 4 = 18. It's 666. They love those 666s. And Bernie Sanders had never actually had a real job in his entire life. And he actually got married in the heart in the height of the Cold War in Red Square. So he knows what he's talking about when it comes to these Marxists. So yeah, you're absolutely right about the white race. That's this is an absolute implosion. I have a friend of mine, a college roommate of mine. He was a retired police officer. He now is into IT and stuff, and he's working at a medical facility in Terre Haute, Indiana. And his son married a mulatto in August. Okay. And he was very questionable about his decision to marry this person. And now she is going. She's going to these Black Lives Matter gatherings. Okay, and she's lying about it. And she now she hates Seth, his son. She absolutely thinks he's a devil. And so. And it's like yes, and they have these. I explained to them, they have these political officers that that make you hate them. And he's and I said I told him I said you need I said you have to always remember the racial issue is number one. It's nature over nurture. He said, well, she was raised by a white family, but she tried to she. Got arrested for robbing a Kmart, and she got a she also got arrested for a DUI. He said, "I guess that really didn't matter." He says, "No, it doesn't matter. It's you know, if it's part of their DNA, and you can't get around that. You have to stick with your own race, and you know, and because they will always, and you know, the race mixed individual will always go with the lower race." Because they cannot keep up with the race.
Right, and they want to get back to their own kind. I don't even know that they're smart enough to think about the DNA and the cultural aspects of it. They just simply want to be around their own kind. I've told the story about an engineer I knew that worked at the Susquehanna nuclear plant in Pennsylvania. He was an engineer, and he married an American Indian. And they had two children, a boy and a girl. And when I met them, they were friends with the woman I was dating at the time. So we all got together for this, like a birthday party. So I went to it. I said, what the hell? And he was a nice enough guy, and actually the lady was nice enough, but the kids, the two children, were teenagers again when I met them. They had emotional problems out the ass. I mean, they were on Prozac, they were on mood suppressors, they were having all kinds of mental issues, sociological issues, psychological issues, exactly what the scripture says. They were plagued with all of these emotional and mental problems due to being mixed. And the irony was, years later, the lady called me and said, "Dan, do you remember Steve and whatever her name was that in Pennsylvania?" I said, "Yeah, why? Well, what's up?" She goes, "Well, the kids are still a wreck, but she just left them to go back to the Midwest and live with the Indians." And I said, "Really?" She goes, "Yeah, and you know what she told Steve when she walked out on him?" And I said, "No, what?" And she said, "I want to go live with my own people." So even after being married for that number of years, I'm going to say it was like 20 years, raising two half-breed children who are now mental basket cases, okay, she dumps him and goes back to her own kind. And this story repeats among people I know all the time. Why our people don't get this, I don't know. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's common sense. But, you know, it reminds me of our people, Phil, when you talk to them about the food laws, okay? They act like we're trying to ruin their life. "Well, what do you mean, Dan, I can't eat pork? What do you mean I can't eat shrimp? I want to eat shrimp." And like I had an argument here recently with a friend, and he gave me the age-old argument. "Well, Dan, don't you know that pigs are raised on farms today, and they're fed grains and corn, and they're kept clean?" And I said, "What's that got to do with the makeup of the pig? It's still a pig." "Well, yeah, but it's raised clean. It's not out in the woods." I said, "It doesn't matter what it's eating out in the woods. It's still a pig." But in their brains, that's what they're doing. The same thing you're saying. Well, I'll give you another case. I got a family member that adopted a young girl from Russia, thinking that, you know, bring her into a good Christian family. She was in an orphanage over there. Her mother was a drunk, a drug user, and a prostitute. That's a great background, isn't it? Her father, she doesn't even know who the hell that was. But they thought, just like all white people who have this phobia or this mental illness that thinks that you can train other people into becoming better people and get over the DNA and IQ barrier. They brought her to the United States at the age of 12 with that kind of background, raised her in a beautiful palatial home with everything of privilege that you could imagine, all kinds of money and toys and gadgets, best of schools, best of foods on the table. And you know what? She was trouble from the day she got here, and to this day, she's still trouble. 29 years old, she's already totaled three cars. She's been picked up for DUI, I can't tell you how many times. Picked up for shoplifting, I can't tell you how many times. And she acts just like her mother, okay? Belligerent, angry, everything is the world's fault, not hers, ever. And so it's just proving your point. You can take them, what's the old saying? You can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. You can't do it, folks. Okay? Yep. And don't throw, and what they do, Phil, to us all the time. "Well, I know one individual that's not true." Oh, okay, so we're going to ignore the 10,000 that it is true because you've got one example. And that's when these Zio Christians, who I cannot find anything but contempt for today, they'll come up to you and, "Well, Diane, what would Jesus say? Wouldn't Jesus say we should take care of that one person that's going to turn around and be a better person? And we'll just have to eat the cost of our society and the murders caused by the 10,000 that it doesn't fit." I mean, talk about stupid.
Well, oh yeah, I agree with that 100%. I had when I lived in Indiana, which was at the time an extremely white town in northern Indiana, Goshen, you know, the land of Goshen. I had a neighbor family, the Berries, and the woman of the family was a very, very white woman with silver hair from Cleveland, and her husband was this big, burly black guy. I mean, I thought he played for Notre Dame. I mean, he was freaking huge, okay, and he was very, very black, and they had three mulatto children, and their oldest was Joe, and he was 3 years younger than me, and I think I was, I don't know, 12 or something at the time, and his parents went on some religious retreat for some big religious conference, okay, on, like, you know, international, you know, helping the hungry and stuff like that, at some international meeting in Ohio for a few days, and so their cousin came, his mother's cousin, daughter of her sister, I guess, when they had gotten married, you know, they wanted to overcome this race issue, you know, and make themselves feel like they love everything, and they had been disowned by their family and everything like that, and they left together, and that's where they ended up in Goshen, and his cousin showed up, and she was gorgeous, okay, an absolutely beautiful, charming, very, you know, very articulate blonde girl. She was, I forgot what she was studying, but she was around 21 or so, 22, and she's a beautiful girl, and I told Joe, I said, you know, your cousin is really a beautiful woman, and he was acting like an absolute beast. I mean, he would like drool and grab his crotch. It was disgusting, you know, and she just laugh at it like it was a, you know, it's like, oh, he's just a kid. It's like, I would never in my entire life ever do something like that to, you know, in front of a woman. I would never do that ever, let alone to my own cousin. And I was, right. You know, it was embarrassingly bad. It was just absolutely embarrassingly bad. I couldn't believe this crap, and I said, man, this is just horrible, you know, and because her family had utterly disowned the family, and then they came back to the fold. They forgave them for, you know, said, okay, we're, you know, it's okay, you know, it's, you know, and so they tried to bond everything together, you know, try to forget about the whole issue. And then some years ago, my mother got a letter from Beth, Joe's mother, the white woman, and she's absolutely outraged about what these Trumpers are doing. She's terrified that the whites that the racists in Europe will not allow millions of Sudanese to come into Europe. She's absolutely outraged at this lack of love among the white Europeans.
She's identified herself for us then, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, she says this is the work of the devil, you know. And they even went to a private school. They took their kids to a private school, a little Mennonite school. So. Yeah, it's just I've seen this from the. It's just it's. You're right. It's. I keep saying it's. Nature is always going to trump nurture. It's. You know, you can only, you know, you have to have the right, you know, ingredients to make it appropriate, you know, in what we were talking about with regarding pork and stuff. You have to have the right, you know, right material in order to have healthy food, you know, and. You know, and it's this black issue is kind of like termites. Okay, just think about termites. You know, termites are a very, very from an ecological standpoint, termites are a very, very important creature in the world. They serve a very important purpose, you know, in decompose, you know, in helping, you know, torn down trees to decompose and this and so forth. And without them, the ecological system would be a disaster, be a real serious problem without termites. However, okay, so remember, termites' lives matter. Okay, remember that. Termites' lives matter. Okay. So, okay. Now, however, if you have termites in your house, okay, they matter even more. See? And if you have too many of those termites, you can have a few, okay? It's not going to be a big deal. But if you have too many of those termites, your house will collapse on you, and the owner, the ones who built that house, the roof will fall on them, and they will be destroyed, and they won't have it. They won't have a home.
You're witnessing it. Yeah, you're witnessing that right now.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So termites' lives matter. Remember that.
Termites' lives matters. I love that nature. Nature trumps nurture. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to give some warning out here. I love the chat, by the way, Phil. So thanks for calling in, but. Mm-hmm. Folks need to know we are in serious, serious trouble in this country. In fact, all the white nations are in serious trouble. But you got to remember, the United States, the communists said a long time ago, the last domino to fall in world conquest for the Jews would be the United States, because we were the country of free thinkers, independent people, courageous. Back in the day, anyway, they had a higher IQ. We were armed. We defended our right to be armed and to use our arms, etc. So America represented the biggest and baddest domino that needed to fall. So all of the stuff that's been happening for decades is the communist Jews, like termites, eating away at our infrastructure, our institutions, our faith, our racial identity, everything. And the problem isn't the termites or the Jews so much as it is our people have lost the ability to identify the termites, and they don't seem to have, like I've said, the brains or the balls to stand up against an obvious insurgency that's going to destroy our culture and our race. It's like they're dumber than rocks. And mm-hmm. again, I thank the image of the beast, these electronic toilets that pump out propaganda day and night. And by God, it works, doesn't it, Phil? I mean, you got to give credit to the Jew. That's why they took over banking and media. The first two things they take over when they invade a country is banking and media, because with those two, they can get whatever else they want. Mm-hmm. And look at what they've done in this country. Look what they've done to the white race in the United States and Canada. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll tell you a very markedly turning point in with the white race. It happened in the 19th century when they changed the purpose of education from teaching you to think to teaching you to learn. Those two things are remarkably different. In the previous times, throughout our history, you were taught to think when you studied, and which allowed you to decipher things and make logical decisions. You had the logic, rhetoric, all of these things, and our children would become brilliant minds at extremely young ages. I saw a lecture from a guy who talked about these young men. Of course, they were all white, and they would get their doctorates. Okay, they were at like 15, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old. Okay, and they were brilliant, and they'd want these men to become like mayors and stuff. But the people were uncomfortable with having a 14-year-old mayor, okay? You know, now we elect a cat to be mayor. So literally, that's all they did that up in Alaska once. He was mayor for like 15 years, I guess. So what happens is that you switch from thinking to learning. Thinking puts the student first, okay? It's the student that matters, okay, above all else, and his ability to think and decipher things. And so, and you look and you analyze stuff. Learning puts the teacher first. Okay, you ever hear, we can't pay teachers enough. Okay, teachers have to, teachers are the most important thing. No, the student is the most important thing. The teacher is supposed to be there to guide the student. Okay, but learning puts the teacher first. So the teacher's a moron. Okay, the student is going to be a moron. And you go from having real education to switching it to things like multiple choice tests, true, false, okay?
Right.
These things are meaningless, okay? Is it going to be, okay, A, B, C, or D, and so you're having to gather, meaningless statistical names and all these other things, and you're not able to actually think and put things in the right order.
Right.
So and this is how you get a dictator that tells you exactly what you're supposed to do. Okay? Hitler was a leader, but he wasn't a dictator. He said, "Here, think for yourself, people." And he said, "This is a," and the people said, "Yeah, this makes sense. We're going to follow this because it's logical, it's moral, it's decent, it's not perverted like the damn communists." And the communists couldn't win. They couldn't win in an argument. So, they said, "We're going to have to use violence in order to get our way." And that's the difference. And so that's where we're at today. They are learning, but they are not able to think. So they're told, okay, blacks and whites are the same. Forget about what you think. You have to just do what you learn. That's the difference.
Amen. We've got a caller from Cymru, Borada Brawd. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Yeah, hi there. Hello, Phil. Hello,
yes.
Pastor Dan and the rest of the audience. I've been listening very closely to what you've been talking about. It's all very apropos, as always. Mm-hmm. And talking about education, of course, education, it's all about gradualism. History of the universities. The universities in the United Kingdom, Oxford and Cambridge, there was a university college built by the Israelite people, actually, in Wales, but I won't get into that for the moment. But Oxford and Cambridge universities were set up specifically by the Freemasons, and their purpose was to control. They wanted to get all the intelligent people together in one place so they could control them and actually use them in that. They had their own sort of ideas of where the research would be, and it was just a case of channeling all the energy, all the intellectual energy, into the sort of areas and lines that they wanted to go, and by doing so, that they would actually then make it so the fact that these intellectual people wouldn't start thinking about, well, outside the box. Over.
Yeah, very good. Gentlemen, we got another caller here as soon as I can get my mouse to work right. Randy from Michigan, welcome to the program. Over.
Good morning, and praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Your volume's a little low, Randy. Hello?
Is that any better?
A little bit.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Question. In regards to that, the enemies of our country perpetrating the violence, that's exactly what we see right now. They're not getting their way, so they have resorted to violence in the streets. And since that was brought up, I want to point out the fact that how they want to disarm us so we cannot protect ourselves against their takeover.
Amen.
It's well known that a lot of these people, Dianne Feinstein, Beto, who was running for president on the Democrat ticket, all of these people, if you find the videos,
Okay, we just lost
you,
Randy.
Hello?
You're breaking up, buddy. Hello? Okay.
All right. The enemies put out the propaganda that they just simply want to regulate the Second Amendment, but the reality is they want to disarm us.
Amen. Well, at some point, Randy, our men need to take the bull by the horns, so to speak, and we have to remember that we are the sons of the living God, and we don't have to answer to anybody, okay? We don't need to ask our public servants for permission to be men, to protect our homes and our families, to stand as free men upon the land. We don't need permission to do that. So, anybody else have a comment on that? Over.
Yes. Yeah, well, Dan, the way I look at it from over the United Kingdom is the fact that, obviously I've been a student of your American history as well, the only thing you can do is, we have a guy over here in England called Nick Griffin. He had the Nationalist Party here in Britain that actually was quite popular so many years ago. But he's actually come to the conclusion that there is no political solution. The only thing that you can do really is with this two-party system that you have, which is the two wings of the same bird, the same eagle, controlled by controlling both sides. The only way you can move forward really is scrap the whole thing and start again. Make sure that the Constitution is completely up to date. You get rid of the 1871 situation with the bankruptcy, and to start again, and basically limit the government to what the founding fathers wanted it to be. So the fact that you just had the essential people there, and so you can use all those resources directly in your own states. Over.
Well, that's where the propertarians have the right idea. That's why I tell people to go to that YouTube channel, John Mark, or go to his website, johnmarksays.com, because they have a very biblically based format for government that would work, and we need to abandon this ancient, decrepit, completely communized system that we have today. And Phil, I think you were starting to say something. Over.
Yes, I'm going to talk about the Second Amendment and why it is irrelevant. Okay, it is completely irrelevant because it doesn't mean it does not matter whether you have a gun or not. It matters whether or not you're willing to use it. You can have it says that you can keep and bear arms. But if you have, I saw a video on YouTube where there was a mob of these BLMers marching through town, and they had these guys standing on the side of the street, and they all had their guns. Now, were they guns or not, or did they look like guns? You don't know if they're guns until they start shooting. They could be toys. Okay, it may look like a gun. I have a revolver. That's a cap gun, but it looks like a real thing, And until you use it, it's not going to do anything. So if those Black Lives Matter guys go into the next neighborhood, okay, and they start throwing rocks, okay, and start burning down buildings, are you going to shoot them? Because according to our laws, human life is more important than stuff. You see, so if your life is not in danger, if you're not defending yourself, okay, they could do whatever the hell they want to do, and you're not allowed to shoot them, okay. And this is the issue here. This is where they're at the crux of it. Are you willing to shoot these parasites, or do you just want to sit there and watch them do their stuff? And over there in England, I saw these mobs of these blacks. They were attacking Downing Street. I mean, it was really, really, really bad. Okay, were there any guns involved? Nope. Did the police have any guns? Nope. Okay. Did the niggers have any guns? Nope. Okay. But they're all beating it. But the niggers were going crazy and beating people up like anything. And are there whites? Are there the Englishmen? Are there Are there the children of Robert the Bruce or King Arthur going in there and kicking some serious ass? Nope, they're not. Okay, and they could kick some serious ass in 5 minutes, and those niggers would be toast, and no one's doing anything about it.
Yeah, well, okay. Phil, the situation is, I don't know if you know, we do have weapons here in the UK. The police do actually have weapons. But the thing is, what we have to understand is our parliament is a corporation, and it's run by the usual suspects. So it's just exactly like what's happening in the States. These people are actually allowed, they're being ferried in by coaches, and basically we have traitors in our midst. Over.
I'm sure you do. You've got lots of them. So you're just, it's just the traitors are just the cesspool is, you know, the ooze is coming to the top, and over. It's the same problem here. So and that's it, with the gun issue here in the United States, that's where we've gotten to the point. This is what Antifa is pushing. They're pushing your ability to shoot. In the 19th century, if you stole a horse, you were hung, okay? And you were hung because the horse is very, very important, and it could destroy your livelihood if you don't have it. I've heard these BLMers and Antifa say that what's going on now is the same as the Boston Tea Party, and the Patriots went into Boston and they threw some tea into the harbor because they were upset about a tax. Okay, did they go into town and burn down Paul Revere's silversmith shop or burn a tavern or anything like that? No, because if they did, they'd be hung from a tree by sunrise, and everybody knows it.
And not only that, they didn't even burn the ship that brought the tea.
No, nope.
They just threw the tea. They just took the tea, yep, and threw it in the harbor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm drinking some English breakfast tea right now as we speak.
Well, you know,
from India.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that will be from India. We have some brands over here. We have a brand, famous brand called Yorkshire Tea. Well, we don't actually grow tea in Yorkshire. It's too cold. Yeah. So all the tea, in fact, of course, the tea, English tea is not good for you anyway, of course. Chinese tea is a green tea. The English tea is burnt, so it isn't any good to you at all.
Oh, okay. I'll have to ask over that.
Yeah, it's not good for you at all, English tea. Over.
Wow.
Thank you.
Colonel Prodder put out a video last night, and this morning he's put out more. But he's talking about the fact of, again, we're in serious trouble. And part of the trouble, according to his sources, is that our military leadership, not the guys down at the infantry level, but the military leadership in this country is in collusion with the hierarchy of the intelligence community in this coup to take down Christian white America and turn it into a communist state. So the people that think the upper levels of our military and the intelligence community is on our side are gravely mistaken. Over. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, well, your generals have all been bribed, haven't they? Over.
Yeah.
All your generals have been bribed, Dan.
Yes, they have. And I've talked about my own...
So that's the thing.
Yeah, my own personal friend who is a retired chief petty officer, his cousins and his brother are high-ranking officers. And so he and others that I know in the military have said what kind of perks that they're giving our staff-level officers, the perks of high pay, lots of benefits, extra pay for this and that. They don't work very much. All they are is ass-kissers. And now they've infiltrated the upper ranks with many non-whites who will not rock the boat at all, because just like the women in the military, they don't deserve those spots, and so they're not going to rock the boat and lose all that pay and prestige, and so they'll do what their Jew communist handlers tell them. Over.
Exactly. Well, if you look back in history, as Phil has been talking about today, as The United States of America has been used as a whipping boy ever since 1945, for every conflict around the world. And your men and women, mainly men, have been, they've lost their lives in countries where they shouldn't be. Over.
Yeah, we got a caller, so hold on just a second. Henry in Connecticut's going to join us here. If I get this right, Henry, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, boy, you've got quite a few people on now. I just wanted to mention or talk about the idea that a lot of white people, especially Trump supporters, calling for Trump to deploy the military to take care of these riots. I think there's a few issues with that. I'd just like to say a couple of things about that. First, I don't think he has any intention to, because if you look at Trump's track record over the past 3.5 years, it's just one ongoing do-nothing strategy. He just, he talks. He gives this facade that he's going to do everything and he's going to take care of everything. And then when nothing really actually has happened, he takes credit for it, especially like the fake economy. So number one, I don't think he has any intention to deploy the military. Number two, it's not really constitutional because it has to be requested by the state, sovereign state. And third, if the people get what they're asking for and he does actually do something like that, the next time it'll be for people like us. So look out for what you ask for. Anybody have anything to say about that?
I have something to say about that. I saw a episode of True News, which I don't really like, but it's totally sog. But anyway, I heard a report that on Thursday, the Norse god of lightning, as you know, a very large thunderbolt, lightning, struck the top of the Washington Monument in Washington. Now, I was told in this report that at the time, Mr. Trump was at the Pentagon, being told that they are going, that the communists are taking over, or that the military has taken over and have removed the military from his authority. Okay, so they were sending the military home, and that he is no longer in charge. Now I don't know if this is true, but that is what I was told in this report. And when it comes to Trump, to me, he's either one of two things. He's either a willing accomplice, or he's terrified for his own life. And his entire life is based entirely upon kissing ass to the Jew. He could never have been anywhere near as the power man that he has, a master of bankruptcy in New York City, without just absolutely kissing the synagogue of Satan. Everyone knows that the New York has removed bail requirements for well over 100 crimes, including very violent crimes like manslaughter and even things like exposing your sexual body parts to a child. All sorts of things. You're required to be let go within 24 hours, and you're not required to post bail. So just so you know, this is the fertilizer has hit the fan.
Amen. So. Well, here again, when is the truth in God's law going to matter to people? That's the thing I keep asking. When is it going to matter? Now, I want some information from you guys. Based on what you just said, Phil, and what I've been told by some of my contacts, I don't know how much you guys know about a thing called NASARA, which is the National Economic Security and Recovery Act from the 1990s. According to the people that tell me and keep me up to date on this Nasara, at some point, the president, who is actually the chief executive officer of a corporation called the United States of America, would be taken out of office and stepped down because the white hats, the military, the white hat coup would take him out of office and disband this corporation and return this country back to the republic that it was. Now, I understand some people think that that's hopium. Okay, I give you that. However, I'm going to ask you, in the spirit of our father, could Nasara be actually taking place right now? Because
Hold on a minute. It's Gezara. It's G-E-S-A-R-A. It's a global.
Well, there's
two. There's about 1 million tons of gold is actually being held in trust for about 70 years. About 400,000 tons are actually in the Philippines. So basically, this what you've been talking about, I've been following as well. And again, it may actually just be there. But yeah, I've also heard what you have as well, Dan. The fact the idea is the corporation that was set up in 1871, which is the United States of America in capital letters, will come to an end. And there's a thing called I watched one of Trump's speeches where he was joking about driving around in an RV. Well, and he mentioned it five times during his speech yesterday, which was going on about 50 minutes. And the RV is code for revaluation. You know, it's also global. It's the global reset. You know, so I think it's a possibility. I'm hoping that it's actually going through, and there may be more news about it on Monday. Over.
Okay, we got another caller, so hang on just a second. Area code 315, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dan. Phil, New Mexico.
Oh, Phil, okay. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I wanted to point out to Mike from Wales that the first time he said he'd been listening to a conference call with a Phil, and he got the Phil from New Mexico and the Phil from Florida mixed up, but that's okay. I wanted to mention this whole Joseph Gregory Hallett thing. Are any of you familiar with that?
Yeah, I am. Okay. Yeah, the thing is, that's going through at the moment as well. Now, the thing is, you know that it's in the United Kingdom, as it is in other countries, it's treason to declare yourself to be, you know, the king or the queen or the crown, to be a pretender to the throne without the actual without any evidence.
Right.
So, my understanding is this from history is as follows. Going back to if you recall, there was actually a person called the Queen Victoria, and she ruled until 1900. And she ruled for 70 years, and she was from the House of Hanover, and her relatives were the Kaiser, who was a cousin of hers, first cousin, and she was also cousin to the Romanovs in Russia as well, and Darth, you know. So going back to Victoria was actually the queen at the time of the Napoleonic Wars, and in 1815. At the Battle of Waterloo, the English and the Prussians won the battle against Napoleon and the French and his forces. What happened was there was a stock exchange set up in Europe at the time, and what happened was the Rothschilds had an agent in the field at Waterloo, and sent back home in pigeons back to London to tell Rothschild what was going on, to tell him that Wellington and the English and the Prussians and under Blücher, Field Marshal Blücher, The Prussians, by the way, were the Germans. They'd actually won the battle. To cut a long story short, so what happened was, in those days, with the stock exchange, it was government gilts, government bonds. So the next day of trading, in the morning, Rothschilds actually spread it around the floor through his cronies that Napoleon had won the battle.
I think we all know the story.
So there was a run on the actual bond, on the bonds. And so by the end of the day, all his cronies were buying up all the bonds. By the next day, when the news came over when they came by sea to tell them that Wellington had won the battle, then they realized that they'd been fooled. And Rothschilds actually had an increase of 5,000% on his revenue. To cut a long story short then, what happened was he was in charge then in Britain. He was the richest man in Europe, the richest family in Europe on paper. And so what happened, he actually had then, him and his brothers had pre-monarchy rights on the royals. So him and his brothers actually had children with Victoria, Queen Victoria. But the first, Queen Victoria did actually have a child with a guy called Blind Prince George of Cumberland, and he was from the House of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, and he actually he died shortly after. But they had a child called Francisco Manuel, and his title was King John II, and unfortunately he was murdered. And so then the Rothschilds' progeny have become, ever since the time of Queen Victoria, all our kings and queens have been from the Rothschild mix. So Prince Charles is a bastard, effectively. They call him a bâtard, B-A-T-A-R-D. So bringing it forward to Gregory Hallett, what he has the marks. The marks, M-A-R-K-S, is the official documents from the royal houses. They're all interbred, proving that he is the Lord Chancellor, and he's also, he has claim. He's called a Prince Pretender to the throne, and he has all the paperwork. It actually has gone through the courts as well, so he is just waiting to take up the ownership. Buckingham Palace, where the Queen normally resides in London, has been shut up, and the seal has been taken from the gate. So there seems to be a lot of truth in this. What worries me, though, about this guy is the fact that he's not only declared himself as the King of Britain and the whole of Ireland and Governor of America and Canada, Australia, New Zealand. He's also declared himself to be the title of Christos as well, Messiah. So, which is very, very worrying. Over.
And he defines that term Christ as joins kingdoms and joins time.
Correct. That's
right. And he also defines Yahweh as the bog that was protecting one of the houses, and I forget what it was protecting, but the name Yahweh was the name of the bog that protected this area. Anyway,
yeah.
He's very articulate and very intelligent, and he appears to have, I know nothing about this, but up on his website you can see the documents. And he has other things too, apparently. You know, he's got the sword and he's got these other marks and stuff. But
that's right.
The thing that concerns me about it is that in one of the, I delved into it as deeply as I could, just to try to determine if there's any chance of his legitimacy, and also if so, what kind of things does he say, you know, about about God and people like that, and he says some really good things like. God is being in the right place at the right time. One of the things that God does is in the right place at the right time, and I've been in the right place at the right time for 40 years. That's one of the things he said. Somebody asked him, is Yahweh the name of God? And he said, no. And they said, well, what do you think the name of God is? And he says, I don't know. So it's really a conundrum. He could be. Oh, and then the worst part of all this is that in one of their, there's a site called Charles Ward, who's acting as a sort of overseer to these web conferences. It's just a conference call like we're doing, just the three guys. And Dave Kidd said he's reading off a list of the goals, policy goals. And it sounded awful New World Order to me, boy. There's some really good stuff in there, but then some really, really creepy, possibly. Anyway, it's been very entertaining investigating all this, just with all the listening to three articulate Brits speaking amongst themselves is always very entertaining, and especially about these extremely critical historical and what will be future issues. Fascinating stuff. Kingof.uk is his site. Kingof.uk.
Yes, and as you rightly said, Charles Ward, in fact, Charles Ward, they've actually just sent over from Spain, they have a film director, producer. He's going to be doing some interviews. So, yeah, it's going to come up on the YouTube channel over the next few days, so that's worth looking into. I think there's a strong chance that he is actually there is another relative of Queen Victoria living in Portugal, and he is going to be taking up some titles in Germany apparently. But I think this is genuine because, like I said, he is living in England at the moment. He's in Sandringham, which is near London, and to be honest with you, if he was declaring himself a king, they would have arrested him by now for treason.
Right. Right.
So I think there is some truth in it, but I don't trust him. Let's put it that way. It's interesting if there's any good things will come out of what he's going to be doing, but I don't trust him. His agenda, over.
Thank you. I agree. The issues are all so crucial at this time. Anyway, all of these things he claims have happened to him make it sound very much like he's getting supernatural help, but from which side? You know, that's the big conundrum that I'm having. He'll describe these incidents that he's experienced and that have acted as confirming signs to his path. It's just very, very fascinating and very hopeful in one way, but boy, you better be cautious, because if you give this one man all this power and somebody flips him or he goes nuts, or, you know, it's idolatry for one thing. Isn't that why we Americans are all here?
Well, yeah, the thing is, like, you know, at the end of the day, I live in a country where there's still the monarchy, but you know, we do not support the monarchy here, you know. And going back to this Greg Hallett again, he says that there were two Jesuses, and so therefore
he says there were more than two.
He doesn't believe in the Messiah, the true Messiah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and he's putting himself up in the place of. So he's an antichrist.
And according to him, anti is against Christ or opposite of Christ, and anti with an E, it means in place of Christ.
Well, the thing is, Phil and Dan and Randy and the other Phil from California, you know, at the end of the day, I believe in Yah, our God there, and I do believe in Jesus or Yeshua, Yahusha. And I do believe that he came and he died for us. So I'm completely towards the Bible. So this guy is actually not. So therefore, he doesn't have my trust. Over.
Yeah, and we got to remember our father told us to judge people by their fruits because we can't look at the hearts of people. So this would be a case where that's very important for all of us to remember to judge by the fruits. Over.
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it's going to be a very interesting week this week because if the Gesara, G-E-S-A-R-A thing is actually really going forward, we need to see whether it's going to be good for us or whether it is a New World Order scam to bring about this one world currency. Over.
Ante, A-N-T-E, means before. It does, as in antebellum, which means before the war, as in antebellum South. And also, we must understand...
I was giving the way he defined it.
Oh,
he
I see.
Defined
okay.
It.
Okay. Okay. And also, in our situation, we remember Father says that God is within us, so we don't have to. So it's not a matter of what's on a piece of paper. They could march into the Smithsonian and burn the Constitution, but the law is in our hearts, and this is where it comes in. You are either with the Father or you're not, and that's where we're at. And this is the crux of the matter, and so we're having to make that decision. When I was a child, my best friend was named Steve. He claimed that his great 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 grandfather was the Duke of Wellington, and I told him, I said, you know, Steve, if it wasn't for the Prussians, the English would have got their butt kicked at Waterloo. And he says, I know. My father told me that the Duke was an egotist and wanted to take all the credit, and that's why you're my friend, Phil. Because I'm half British. I'm from the British Isles from my mother's side, and my father's German. And I said, thank God someone understands that. He says, yes, I know. And Steve's father just happened to be my eye doctor and gave me my glasses, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, and Phil's got touched on a very good point. You know, the scriptures tell us that it's not going to be a man as a savior the second go-round, because if you read Malachi chapter 4, if you read Obadiah and Ezekiel 25, it all talks about the fact that Joseph and Jacob and Joseph will become a flame and a fire. That's our people. So our people are part of the restoration of this earth and to bringing in the kingdom. So, you know, we will have leaders amongst our people. I'm not saying we won't, but a savior in the form of a body of a man, whether it's this Hallett character or Trump or anybody else who tries to portray themselves as a dictator or savior, that's not going to work. It's the sons of Yahweh being manifested and taking the reins of power back from the Antichrist, plural, and establishing the kingdom and God's law upon the earth once again. That's what brings law and order on this earth and a restoration, is the men of Yahweh getting off their ass, picking up their weapons, and getting behind their designated commanders and get ready to go to war, period. Nothing else is going to change this world. Everything is kabuki theater. Everything is more government. Everything is more corporatocracy. And those things are evil and corrupt from the start. Over.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan. I'm even good news of this Gesara thing. The only thing that fascinates me and excites me is the fact that it means that it's all coming together for the end times. I sent you a picture through of Soros as well. It's interesting that Soros has a problem with his right eye. He has a darkened right eye. So we have all these events coming in now. We have this Hallett putting himself forward. We have the Gesara money system coming in. Things are going on with Trump. And so basically, you know, that's what fascinates me at the moment is, are we coming into the end days really at the moment? Over.
One of the other things that's very fascinating about this is the way the internet is a part of all this and how it's giving us the ability to watch all these different branches of things happening around the world. Let me just say one thing about Joseph Gregory Hallett. He's kind of hard not to like for us because instead of having a Jewish accent, he's got a British accent, a New Zealand accent, actually. And it's very refreshing just to hear him speak in his articulate way. And he seems to have a good heart, you know, just from I've been watching all everything that's out on him now because he only went public, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago. He did some interviews last year. But he's apparently busy scrambling, trying to get all this documentation together and hire a film crew. And, you know, they want to make a TV show and a cartoon about it so that people can understand what's happening. It's probably not a bad idea. But it concerns me a lot because of a few of the things that were said.
But let me interject.
It's great.
Yeah, let me interject a thought here, guys. Number one, it doesn't matter whether Trump's good or bad. What Trump's presidency has done is expose the mainstream media, the Zionist control, and the communist Antifa and communist elements working in our country. Those things have come out regardless of whether Trump's good or bad. Doesn't matter. Those things come out. Greg Hallett doesn't matter as a man. Doesn't matter. But what he has exposed is the fact that the people in the royal, so-called royal families of England today are interlopers. They are fakes and they are frauds. That's what's more important. So we don't need to really care much about Putin, Xi Jinping, Trump, or Greg Hallett. They're just individuals. They don't matter. Our king matters, and the fact that these events are opening the eyes of many people I talk to. I'm on the phone all day long, and sometimes till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, talking to our people who are waking up and listening to what they have to say about their own lives and the things that they're hearing, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact that our Father told us at the end of the age, Babylon was going to burn, it would be an economic destruction, that the merchants and the rulers are the ones that are doing the weeping and wailing as Babylon burns. These things all fit with what we're seeing happen. That's what I think
That's
is
correct.
Important. Over.
Well, for sure. Yahweh's orchestrating everything. It's like back in the biblical days, you had Pharaoh was used, you had Cyrus used, Nebuchadnezzar was used. You know, you have these different characters. You know, our people were slipping into bad ways, you know, almost constantly, and we were being chastised. And the Babylonians were used, the Assyrians were used, the Egyptians were used to chastise us. The Edomites have been used to chastise us for a long while. So I just wonder now if it's all going to come to a head very, very soon, which I really, really, really hope. Like, as you said, Hallett, Putin, Xi, Trump, these are all just characters on the stage of life, as it were, that all the world's a stage, as Shakespeare said. So, yeah, just everything seems to be coming together. Over.
Yes, indeed. It seems that... Sorry. Go ahead.
I wanted to make a couple points. You know, in ancient Rome, as I mentioned on the show before, I believe, you know, they had the Pontifex Maximus, or the high priest of Rome. And that priest represented all the religious institutions within Rome, and he did not limit himself to just one deity. They collectively put them all together because they did in order to find one. In fact, they even had a temple to the unknown god, just so that they would make sure that they tried to get the right one. So unlike the Pontifex Maximus in ancient Rome, who was a representative of the people, He never tried to speak for God, unlike a certain pope who claims to speak for God, and it was kind of an appeal to the divine, however he manifests himself. So this is where we're at. We need to look inside ourselves and build, and this is the war that we're facing, and the enemy is wanting to make our life literally a living hell, so we'll be like Christ and having to clean it up. We're really going to have to clean this up. And this is war, and they've thrown the gauntlet down, and we're going to have to choose sides. So, and you've got the Sodomites, you've got the blacks, you've got the anarchists, you've got the Satanists. All the enemies of his children are up against us, and we're going to have to unite like never before.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We got another caller. We got Gary in the very southern tip of California. So the very southern tip of Florida says, welcome to the very southern tip of California over on the other side. Go ahead, Gary.
Amen. How are you doing today, Pastor?
I'm hanging in there.
Well, you know, two states that are run by the enemy, especially here in California, because I don't live in Florida, but here in the San Diego area, San Diego has other cities, right near it, and one of them is called La Mesa, okay? And they had Antifa here. We were so fortunate, and they were burning everything down. And guess what the first things they burned down was when you talk about Babylon? Two banks they burnt down. So we've experienced some of the burning down of Babylon here in San Diego. So I thought I would share that with you guys when you guys were talking about Babylon.
Well, yeah, Gary, that's a good point. Thank you for bringing it up. And let me just take a couple seconds here. What did we see happen in recent years, okay? Did not the Roman Catholic cathedral known as Notre Dame burn to the ground? They're attacking churches. These churches are not telling the truth to the sheep, and so they're being persecuted and shut down. The preachers are put out of work. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. They're attacking bankers. I heard they're attacking synagogues. The blacks, when they go into these cities, they're attacking Jews and their businesses and the synagogues. The world market, as far as the Baltic Dry Index, is showing that worldwide freighter activity is at all-time low. We see the economic system getting ready to go up in flames. The white people of the world are beginning to realize that there actually is a genocide against our people taking place. The Jews have never been more exposed than they are right now. Every single channel I go to, hundreds and hundreds of comments are being made about Zionists being communist, being Talmudic, being the enemies of all mankind. Everything's people talk about homeschooling, even in my own family. I will not put my child back in that damnable public school system, so we could see the end of the public school system, as far as white people are concerned anyway. And now we got these riots that are exposing the fact that when you invite aliens into your culture, you're inviting trouble. The only people who are allowed, according to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the only people who are allowed to govern God's people are other God's people, which are our men of good character, who are elders, who are trained in God's word, and have proven themselves to be balanced and rational individuals. That's the only people allowed to rule over Yahweh's people, over.
Pastor, the thing that I also wanted to share is, as everybody noticed, they showed the picture of this black man with the policeman's knee on his, it was on his head, not his throat. And then the black man was going, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Well, how can you talk if you can't breathe? And then later on, as I saw something else that showed the other side of this, and there was two other cops with their knees on him, because this guy was muscling around, he was on drugs and what have you, so they had a hard time taking him down. Instead of giving them credit for taking him down, they're giving them credit for killing him. And then they showed this all over national TV. You guys did mention TV as part of the problem with the banks. TV is media. So then from this, we get all these riots. We get these walking through the city with all these signs, about this guy being killed. You know, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Well, I can't breathe and I got that mask on. Why aren't they talking about that? And I'm like you, Pastor Dan, I don't wear it. And some people do ask me why I don't have my mask on. I said, because I can't breathe. And I can't hardly hear what you're saying with your mask on. Your voice is muffled. So this is what's happened in the last 2 or 3 weeks. You got this black guy, you know, he's terrible. And police are getting taken to the cleaners, not the black man. Not all the stuff that he done. This guy was a porn star. He's been in prison. I mean, the litany is long. They're arrested him for printing $20 bills. You know, forget his criminal record. We're going to talk about the police. Forget that this guy, you know, was big as a house and he was an ex-football player also. Forget all that. You know, right. We're going to talk about the police sticking his knee on the guy's head and then say it was his neck. If it was his neck like they're saying it was, and they were cutting off the air, then how did he talk? You know,
well, there's a whole list of anomalies to that go into great detail. The police car did not have a standard police license plate. There's all kinds of anomalies when you do the checking. But see, that's the difference between people who think and have rational thought, as Phil talked about. Do you teach people how to think, or do you teach them how to learn? Well, most of the people today, they've learned nothing of value other than to accept the, quote, trusted voices, and the trusted voices are telling them this thing's for real, and they're too damn stupid to figure out that it's all kabuki theater. So,
well,
you know, but I think...
Elka said right up front when she first saw it, she says, it's a lie. It's a phony.
Of course, it is. Everything on the television's a lie. It's why it's called Tell Lie Vision, Talmud Vision. It's not our friend. There's nothing on those electronic toilets that's doing us any good, period. All right, now, hold on a minute. We're running out of time, so because of where we are with the current events, I'm going to start at the top with Phil from Florida and work my way down with what do you want to tell our brothers and sisters around the world for the next 4 to 5 days? What do you want to communicate to our people as far as a caveat about what they should be thinking about and doing and looking for as far as you're concerned? What do you consider your message to our people based on what you're seeing going on? And again, we'll start with Phil in Florida.
I would say, well, what I wanted to say before was that the police officers who are being taken to court, the precinct with which they worked at was burned to the ground, and so all of their police records are no longer available, which is I find to be rather convenient. The one thing I want to understand is that you need to focus on one thing, or actually two things. One is a white Aryan race, and two, loyalty. Those are the only two things that matter. If you have any white person, anyone, who is siding with Antifa or Black Lives Matter, disown them. Do not speak to them. Do not talk to them. They are your worst enemy. They're worse than the niggers. Okay? They're the worst there is ever. Okay? They are scum of the earth. And do not ever speak to them. Okay? And they are your mortal enemy. And it is all about our ancestors, our race, and you need to respect your ancestors, whether they are okay, wherever they are, in this life or in the previous ones, whether it be General Lee, whether it be Alfred the Great, it doesn't matter. Okay, they are not perfect, but they are our family. You need to act like a family. You need to act tribally, and that's what matters. Everything else is just politics.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well said, Phil. Anything else, then? Or I'll go to Mike over in Wales. Okay, Mike, any closing comments for our brethren across the world? Wait a minute. Hold on, Mike. Somehow the software. Okay, now you should be unmuted. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, yeah. Well said, Phil. I just think people should use their critical thinking. as we've been discussing, and we've always said about the television, pretty much all of it is all Kabuki theater. I just think that everybody should rally around the flag, rally around our race, as it were, and just keep an eye on what's going on, and just filter the information, and don't come to quick conclusions. You know, just filter the information, look for a few witnesses, as the Bible says, at least two or three witnesses that are reliable, and just the fact that we're living in interesting times at the moment. And all I can say is, yeah, bless to all the listeners today and all the callers in today. And thanks for the time today again, Dan. Over.
Yeah, thanks, Brother Mike. Thanks, Brother Mike. And, you know, keep up the good work. Thanks for all the information you send. You do a lot of work, a lot of research. And, again, we're all part of a team. And, you know, along the lines of what you're talking about, years ago when we tried to postulate what we thought the ark would look like, in the days of Noah, it was made of timbers and wood. What would the ark look like today? Because he promises an ark for his chosen to go through this fire that's coming. And we postulated possibly the ark for the latter days would be made up of people. All of us as brothers and sisters networking together to look out for each other, to pray for each other, and to share information that would arm us against the lies and deceptions of the enemy. So, interesting concept. So, thanks a lot, Brother Mike. Yahweh bless you, buddy.
Yahweh bless.
Randy in Michigan, buddy, are any closing comments for the folks?
Yes.
Or did we lose you? Did you fall asleep, Randy?
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah, now I can.
Hello? Okay. Okay, I think what we see, like in Minneapolis, this sets a dangerous precedence for all law enforcement. Now, unfortunately, when they are just simply defending themselves against a criminal, that is now going to be used for people to call for more justice and burning of our cities, when in fact, you notice with these criminals, they totally just, they don't care about that. It's just, oh, the officer, look at what he did. Well, looking what the criminal did. I think this sets a dangerous precedence, because now law enforcement, every time they may pull the trigger, they've got to think, wow, am I going to be prosecuted and kicked out of a job for defending myself? And then also, folks, if you've been paying attention, now look at everything that's going on around you. Again, self-defense, and be prepared for anything. We are going in dangerous times, and it's not that we're just going into it. This has been brewing on for longer than any of us have been alive. It's just becoming more prevalent within our society, and it's getting worse. Be prepared.
Yeah, amen. So, Randy, you would agree that you think we're at the end of the age and all the scriptures that apply to the end of the age?
It seems to be going in that direction.
Yeah, amen.
And
all right, Randy.
And we've been how long have we been telling people about these things? I would hate to even get on here and say, hey, you know what, we were right. But all you had to do was look at the Bible to find out what was going to happen. It's
Amen.
All there.
Yeah,
it's all
true.
There. It's already been written. And guess what? Guess what? I know this all sounds like doom and gloom, but guess what? We win. Yahweh wins.
Amen.
Praise Yahweh.
Amen. We're on the right side. We're on the right side. We're on the winning right versus the losing left. So, you know, we're on the right side of the fence with Yahshua HaMashiach, and that's what matters. So, Randy, bless your heart. Thanks for calling in, buddy. Phil in New Mexico.
Well, first of all, great comments all around. Many accolades to everyone. Great discussion. I think it would be helpful to include in your prayers that whatever is going on with all this kingship stuff, and that it be good for us. And on the surface, it's obviously good for us to have a one of our legitimate people in that position, regardless of what the position means, just to have one of our own there, because we haven't for 200 or 300 years. So that in itself would be very healing for us. In closing, all I wanted to say was the thing that sums it up the best, which is, be of good cheer. Our redemption draws close.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, buddy, take care, and thanks for calling in. God will bless.
Thank you, Dan.
Gary, you, buddy, but before you start, Gary, I want everybody to know I do have something I want to add at the end after you're done talking. A listener put a request in, and I want to answer his request at the end here. But anyway, closing comments, Gary.
Well, I agree with the brother on read the Bible because it's all there. You know, it doesn't come out, you know, in living color like you might want it to. You have to read it, and it says search the scriptures, and you'll find it. And the one thing that I noticed besides what I already shared with Antifa coming into our town, that's their war, is when they showed the picture of Washington, D.C., and the lightning bolts coming down, they were coming everywhere. And one of the big bolts hit the, what do they call it, the Washington
Monument.
And it's a wonder they didn't show probably over in New York one of them hitting that Statue of Liberty, because it's not liberty at all. It's liberty for the enemy. So, you know, and what's happening here in California is our governor is saying it's okay for all this criminal activity to be going on and we can't touch them. That's what's amazing. We can't touch them. They're protected by our government.
Your governor is a Antichrist Jew, and why would anybody expect an Antichrist Jew to make decisions that are beneficial for the white man? Okay.
And his aunt is Pelosi. That's his aunt.
Well, there you go. I'll tell you what, white people, this is waking up a lot of white people, okay? Not all of them, but it's waking up a lot of white people. And the insanity of these Jewish, Talmudic, communist pieces of shit that sit in government positions are being outed for what they are, psychopaths. Okay, and only a white person with a brain that is completely unfunctioning would think otherwise of these people. When you look at the people like Pelosi, Schumer, Boxer, Feinstein, Newsom, Northam, that hag transsexual up in Michigan, on and on it goes. These people are mental, they're psychotic, they're devious, and they're perverts. Oh, gee, really hard to figure out why they say and do the demonic things they do. When is the white man going to realize that these monsters, we don't need their goddamn permission to do a thing? All we need to do is agree amongst ourselves. Why do you think Christ said, when my people walk about in one accord? What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? It means when they come together in thought and in deed. As Phil mentioned, we're a family. When we operate as a family, when we think as a family, when we decide to do something as a family, we don't need these other assholes to agree with us. Okay? Only we need to agree with each other. That's why this enemy spends so much time and money to keep us fighting amongst ourselves. Well, sooner or later, the white man has to wake up and realize that you have an enemy that's dividing you. So why don't we start doing the opposite? Why don't we do what Christ said? Forgive your brother 70 times 7. If your brother, your racial brother, slapped you across the cheek, turn the other cheek. He didn't mean physically doing it. He meant spiritually. If he offends you, if he says something that upsets you, if he looked at somebody the wrong way, or he was derogatory to something you said, okay, fine. We're family. I talk about the fact my blood brother and I argued with my blood brother more than any person walking on this earth in my lifetime. I have never argued with another individual more than my brother. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't you dare try to hurt my brother, because I'll kill you. All right? He's my family. He's my blood. Okay? We don't agree on everything, but by God, he's my brother. And that's the way we should think. We're white men and women. We're in the image of the Almighty. We were put here for a job to do, and the only reason it's not getting done is because you and I can't agree. We're fighting amongst ourselves. And by God, we need to stop it. Start figuring out who the hell your commanders are going to be, because the war is in our face right now. Not 10 years from now, right now. You better be thinking about it, and you better be praying about it. And I jumped in front of you. I'm sorry, Gary, were you finished?
Well, you mentioned something that's very important that people should look at. During World War One and World War Two, especially, yes, because that's my time, wasn't that the Caucasians against the Caucasians? In other words, the United States, okay, was mainly white people in the war, against our brothers, the Germans, you know, and the Ukrainians. What's going on here? We were killing each other while they were sitting back rubbing their hands. And they were making tons of money off.
That's right. It's got to stop. Intraficidal war must stop. War between brothers, racial brothers. The Greek word Adelphos means a racial brother. It just got nothing to do with somebody with two arms and two legs is my brother. No, I'm sorry, but he's not. That's why Christ Jesus said himself, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's a group of people. That's a racial group of people. And if you freaking morons out there on this earth can't figure that out, that's your problem. Because you're going to pay for it. Trust me. You're going to pay for it. And you're going to see it real soon. The fire is here. And that's why we're trying to save our people from the fire. The fire is going to consume all the rest of you. Okay? If that's what you want to believe lies, you want to believe the Jews, you want to worship the Jews, you want to worship that electronic toilet in front of your face, you go right ahead. Because you're going to go up in flames. And I'm going to tell you something. I won't miss you. And I'm sure as hell not going to feel sorry for you. You've made your choice. You want to go the way of Satan and his kids? By God, you go ahead and do it. But do it. Don't be cold about it. That's what Christ said. Be neither hot nor cold. Don't be lukewarm. Be one or the other. I had that backwards. Either be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. All right? Lukewarm, he hates more than anything. As much as these Antichrist Jews and what they do is terrible, at least they're passionate about ruling the world. At least they're passionate about destroying the white race. At least they're passionate about their hatred of the Christ. He has more respect for these goddamn Jews than he has for you people. You're lukewarm. Start getting hot. And thanks for calling in, Gary. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up with the thing I wanted to talk about. Take care and Yahweh bless.
Yeah, but
all right, ladies and gentlemen, the thing I wanted to close again is I got a guy that wrote in and asked me why I haven't talked about separation between Eurofolk Radio and Pastor Eli and all that. I haven't talked about it much because I don't really care. I don't follow Eli. I don't follow anybody over at EFR. Not that there aren't some people there, but I don't go there. So I don't even know who's on Eurofolk Radio anymore. But the reason, hold on a minute, I got some background noise here. I thought I muted everybody. Where the hell's that coming from? Just a second. Give me a second here till I figure out what's going on. Oh, Henry. I lost track here. Did I get your closing comments yet, Henry? Hello? Okay. What it is I've got two different screens. One is my Q&A queue, and the other is everybody in attendance. And Henry, if I somehow missed, I'm sorry, but you weren't on the one screen. It didn't show up. So, but anyway. As far as Eurofolk Radio, I had a guest on, a Dr. Gale, who is a naturopathic doctor that I've known for decades, one of the best minds in America as far as natural health. I had her on as a guest, and all Pastor Steve and the audience wanted to dwell on was her website, where she has one website that's kind of new agey, which we were not on the show to talk about. I don't agree with the stuff that's on that site. But her knowledge on natural health and how to keep the body healthy and how to stay away from the pharmaceutical drugs, etc., is uncontested. Again, she's one of the smartest people I've ever met when it comes to that. And all the guests wanted to do was tear her down, calling her a white witch, and all this other bullshit and condemn me for having her on. That was the first strike. That was, well, I should say that was the last strike. The first strike was when I was talking about polygamy and circumcision. Circumcision is mutilation of the child. We shouldn't be doing it, okay? If you've got a problem with that, that's your problem, not mine, okay? Does Yahweh allow a Israelite man to have more than one wife? It's uncontestable. If you have a problem with that, it's your problem, not mine, okay? Period. If you don't like it, take it up with the Creator because it's His law. It's not only common sense, it's not only the fact that our people have done it for thousands of years successfully, and it's why we became such huge numbers when we were captive in Egypt, and every time that the enemies decimated our race, it was able to bounce back with untold hundreds of thousands of new Israelites, is because we did what Yahweh told us to do. But if you want to argue with that, well, you go right ahead. Again, it's your problem, not mine. My job is to sit here and tell you the truth. And that's all I care about. I don't give one rat's ass whether you agree with me or not. I really don't care. If you can find fault as far as scripture and truth, well, that's fine. You correct me. I'm not perfect. Therefore, I got no problem with you correcting me. But if you just have a problem with me saying it because you personally don't like it, again, that is your problem, not mine. And so with those two strikes against Eurofolk Radio, I said, oh, I'm done, and I left, and that's when we started doing the conference calls. Because I'm not going to be censored. I'm not going to put up with any kind of bullshit like that from the audience or from the other hosts over at EFR. And then I find out shortly after I left, they all went their own ways anyway. David James is no longer there. I don't even know if Pastor Steve's still alive. Last time I heard, he was in bad shape. Okay, and Eli's gone off the deep end, according to what this guy wrote. I don't know. I don't follow him. I don't listen to him, and I don't care. So some listeners want to know why I'm not there. That's why I'm not there. I will not tolerate somebody trying to censor what I say. Why do you think I don't have a major corporate sponsor? First of all, nobody would touch me with a 10-foot pole because of what I talk about. But the other reason I don't do it is because I'm not going to change what I'm saying because somebody's giving me a donation. No matter how big or small it is, it doesn't matter. You're not going to tell me what to talk about, period, ever. So, that being said, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to share amongst these absolutely wonderful brothers all over this earth, and the fact that they have walked many miles upon this earth. They've learned many, many things. They have a questioning attitude. They have a thirst for the truth, which means they have a thirst for you, Father Yahweh. You are the truth, the way, and the life. Why some of our people can't figure that out, I do not understand. And we have already said that we repent of our ancestors who demanded an earthly king. What a mistake that was. It's almost as bad as the original sin in the garden where Eve was deceived and beguiled by Nakash. That was a major turning point in the Adamic race. The second major turning point was when we asked for an earthly king. What a disaster that has been, that the government of men should rule over Yahweh's people. It's been an unmitigated disaster. We repent of that as well. We stand now as willing vessels, Father Yahweh. We ask that your spirit be poured upon all of the sons of the living God. We are individuals. We are men upon the land. We owe nobody anything upon this earth, and we don't need permission from anybody to defend our land, our property, our families, or ourself. And we have the right to use whatever weapon of choice we decide we need to do that job. We don't need permission from anti-Christ forces to be men. All we need to do is make our minds up that we will be men and that we will work together as brothers to bring this world back into subjugation to the laws of the King of Kings. Because right now this lawlessness, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the lawlessness upon this earth is at an all-time high. The perversion is at an all-time high. The pollution of our water and streams and air, all-time high. pollution of our food, all-time high. The lies and deception, all-time high. We repent of all of it, Father Yahweh. And we plead the blood of the Messiah upon us to wash us clean from all of it. And so we need to stop this bickering. Please, Father Yahweh, put that spirit in our folks to lose the spirit of fear and start getting the spirit of family, the spirit that we matter. The enemy spends so much time telling us we don't matter. Why? Because we do matter. Our race matters. Our families matter. Our children matter. The truth matters. And above all else, you, as our Creator and our Father, matter. We have been disobedient children. There is no doubt about that. And those of us who repent of that, Father, and ask for your forgiveness and come back under your fold and under your wings, we will take our refuge there because there is no other. And again, we ask for forgiveness for being such fools, such ignoramuses, so self-centered and spoiled. Help us to repent of that as well, Father, to humble ourselves before you and to be willing vessels to take up arms in defense of the defenseless, of the widows and the orphans and the unborn, the way it was supposed to be. Have our men remember that we are lions upon this earth and not just whimpering little sheep to be taken to the slaughter. We are the knights of old. We are the warriors of Yahweh our King. And as we ask all these things, Father Yahweh, again we ask, lastly, that you protect us from our enemies, for we have no other protection. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.